Hello, I'm Nigel Reed, and welcome to Cricket Central. On this edition, the Lions lead the pack, why Chennai has set the standard in the Indian Premier League. Also this week, Gale Force, will his new world record ever be beaten in the T20 format? Plus, breaking out, is James Faulkner the real deal? And if so, how far can he take the Royals in IPL 6? All that and more on today's Cricket Central. As is only right, I have been relegated down the order to allow my teammates to face the new ball and tackle the issues head-on. They are former Canadian international Zubin Zakari, and alongside him, cricket writer and broadcaster Faraz Sarawat. So, we'll talk about Chris Gayle and his whirlwind innings and all the records he broke in a little while. But before that, let's talk about what's happening right at the summit. Chennai Super Kings have won IPLs, two of them. They've been runners-up twice. I think they might be the only team, gentlemen, that has reached the playoffs in each of the first five seasons. And after a slightly slow start in 2013, there they are again for us. Five straight wins, back where they expect to be.
Yeah, they believe they can win it, and why not? You know, they're the most cohesive team in the tournament. And, you know, the roles are very well defined for everybody on the team. I think that makes a huge difference to how they perform. They've got MS Dhoni in the side. They've got Mike Hussey, the all-rounders that they have in Albie Moore, Bravo. They're a settled team. They've been through all of this before. And whereas some other teams have kind of transient captains, Chennai has no such problem.
People say there's no substitute for experience, Zub, but I think because Chennai have been there and done it so many times, they know exactly where they need to be at any given point of the season and perhaps any given point of any game.
Yeah, it's exactly that. One of the things that they've really had is a consistent batting order, and obviously probably the best two finishers at the game in the morning, probably the best one in Dhoni. That is experience. You know, when hearts are fluttering at 50 runs in the last five overs, it requires a team that's been there and done it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we tend to think it's one big slog for the last four or five overs, but you're actually suggesting there that there has to be a plan in place, otherwise the wickets are going to fall before the runs are attained.
They definitely know that the first six is massive, but what they have is a guy like Hussey who can move the ball around, runs hard between the wickets, can obviously change his gear. You have a guy setting yourself up the order, and then you have your middle order that's strong with Raina, and then you obviously have Jadeja and Dhoni to kind of set a good target.
Is it all about Hussey? I mean, they call him Mr. Cricket, so he must know something about the game, clearly he knows what end of the bat to use. And we often talk about T20 as, well, one big innings will probably do you. There's got to be more to it than that, hasn't there?
Well, you know, with Mike Hussey, how good do you have to be the one player in cricket known as Mr. Cricket? The thing with Mike Hussey is that he can play any type of innings. I mean, he was a good test player, good first-class player, good one-day player, excellent T20 player, and can adapt his game to situations. And I think something that he has that, a lot of other cricket players who have talent don't have is the mental toughness, the fact that he's not really ruffled by anything. He's been in all kinds of run chases for Australia. He's been in situations where he had to save games, and he's always done it. So, IPL piece of cake for Mike Hussey. He runs hard, he takes the ones and twos, and he can slog and hit the fours and sixes if he needs to do that. If you have a player like that in your team, a 20-over innings, and you've got one player who plays at that level, it only can be positive, you know, on the younger players, and it rubs off on them. And then, just to add to that, is the other player who's very cool under pressure is MS Dhoni. And if you've got two calming influences in the team, experienced heads, your team is always going to do well.
Well, it obviously settles the younger players knowing that they've got that experience and that ability around them.
He's obviously training hard with the players. He's the guy that stays after training. He's one of those guys, so he's a good example for players. He's definitely going to set his standards high.
Well, Chennai have set the standards, and perhaps Mike Hussey is setting the standard for the Super Kings. So they are set fair for the playoffs for a sixth straight year, although you may recall it wasn't quite so comfortable 12 months ago. They only scrambled in on run rate in fourth place. So one of the team's guys that has impressed me so far is the Rajasthan Royals, who, unlike the Super Kings, haven't been to the playoffs since the very first year in 2008 when Shane Warne et al. Carried off the honours in IPL 1. Since then, there have been some lean years. So what are we seeing this year that is making positive noises for the Royals?
Yeah, I think, obviously you have to make note of Shane Watson. He's done extremely well in the last few games. When you have somebody like that, coupled with the rest of the guys that are playing fairly well, the Hodges and Dravids, plus a couple of the young guys that are coming through.
Yeah, I think, you're quite right, Zub. Shane Watson is key. And he's the type of player that if he starts having, you know, a couple of good games, his form generally continues throughout a series or throughout a tournament. And that gives a lot of confidence. People know that that's the type of player he is. Rajasthan, what else about them? Well, very well led, again, similar to the Super Kings. So if you've got a Rahul Dravid in the side, a player who commands respect, a thinker, role definition is key to Rajasthan. You know, they've got players in defined roles. And I think that probably settles nerves in difficult games too, when you know what, you know, your teammates are supposed to be doing. So I think those are all the little things that kind of contribute to a team doing well.
And they do say, don't they, Zub, that, or there is a perception at least, that T20 is a young man's game. And there you are with Rahul Dravid, who surprised a lot of people, but maybe himself and perhaps you so far this year.
I mean, I think IFPL has shown that. Never mind IPL, but N20 cricket around the world. You know, you're a good player, you're a good player. There's obviously a line when the bones start getting a little bit too much, and there may be a few guys in that area. But
if you're Rahul Dravid, you're not going to go in there thinking you're going to pull a Chris Gayle, right? You're going to play your own game. And so a well-organized player like Rahul Dravid, I think, is knowing his limitations, knowing what he can do, and you know, people don't expect him to be a good T20 player, and then therefore there's no pressure when you play. So I think that probably makes a slight difference too.
Well, talking about under the radar, let's talk about James Faulkner, yet another Australian, not obviously in the class or the experience of a Hussey or a Watson or a Warne for that matter, but James Faulkner, perhaps the breakout star of 2013, has taken a bucket full of wickets so far, including 5 for 20 in one game. Now, 5 for 20 in any form of cricket is pretty impressive. In T20, it's off the charts good.
What I liked about him in the games that I saw, he's obviously an attacking young, you know, Australian guy trying to impress and make his way into the IPL. His fielding has been fantastic. There's a couple times he's made some really good stops, important stops, and one really important run out in one of the games.
Yeah, and something of an unknown commodity right now. Left arm, that makes a difference. And if people are trying to hit you, you are going to take wickets in this format of the game. So 5-wicket haul certainly bumps him up. But, you know, the key, as you mentioned, and Zub did too, is the runs, right? So it was 5 for 20, which is excellent. And then there was also a 3-4 where he took 3 wickets and it was also 20 runs. So if you're only giving away 20 runs in your 4 overs, that's pretty good at this level. So he may be found out at some point, but not yet.
Well, I wonder. That was what I was going to come on to, but we, and again, only time will tell if and when James Faulkner is found out, but for the time being he is taking wickets, and as a result, the Royals are prospering. We will talk about that innings, Chris Gayle's world record best, when Cricket Central returns. Don't forget you can follow all the action on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online. Presented by CIBC. We'll be right back.
Now's your chance to witness one of the most exciting leagues in sports. See some of the greatest players in cricket take center stage. Experience the intensity of Indian Premier League. Just subscribe now to Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online. See it live and in HD. Who will win the battle for Pepsi IPL 2013 supremacy? Visit sportsnet.ca/world for details on how to subscribe. Presented by CIBC.
Welcome back to Cricket Central. I'm Nigel Reed alongside Zubin Zakarian for our Sarwat. We are discussing IPL 6, or the 2013 version of the Indian Premier League. And you know what? Whatever happens between now and the end of May, and whoever carries off the silverware, 2013 in IPL will be, I think, a memorable season. And I think we're going to be talking about this particular performance for many years to come. I refer, of course, to Chris Gayle's world record, 175 not out, which contributed to a record team total in T20, 17 sixes, 17 of them in that innings. And the century, gents, came up in 30 balls. Quite extraordinary performance by an individual. You hear the stats and then you let them sink in, and the magnitude of what he actually achieved takes a little while to seep down. And then you think, really? Did he really do that?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous number of runs to score for a batsman in a T20 game. In a one-day game, it's you know, it's a mammoth score. In a test match, 175 is a huge innings. In a T20 game, it's just it's off the charts. But, you know, that's the way the man plays. And, you know, you give him a mediocre bowling attack, a pitch that's conducive to batting, you know, a small ground, and Chris Gayle will go berserk. And he did.
Ever seen anything like this? I mean, you've been playing cricket all your life. Have you ever imagined that you would witness such dominance by one single... I mean, this is a team sport. This is 11 aside. And yet this one guy literally took the opponents to the cleaners.
I know he's good. But it's just like a highlight reel for him. He's just too consistent. It's an amazing achievement. I don't know if you want to simulate it to baseball, which is, I think it's like hitting 5 home runs, and 2 of those home runs are grand slams in a game. You know, I mean, he's 150 in the 15th over. That's, you know, considering what he can do at the end of a game, you know, it's I don't know.
Let's just talk a little bit about the immediate reaction, because what struck me afterwards was the fact that you've got a shell-shocked team of fielders, literally every one of them, and to a man, they wanted to get close to him afterwards and not just applaud him off the field, but he had humiliated an entire team, and to a man, they all wanted to shake his hand because they knew just how special this particular performance was.
Yeah, I mean, they witnessed something that potentially could never, ever be done again. It's more than I've hit in my whole life, you know, it's in one game. So it's, an amazing achievement for as a cricketer to watch, to know what it requires to hit that type of, you know, off decent bowling and obviously first-class bowling. So.
And the extraordinary thing about this is, okay, perhaps the bowling attack wasn't as strong as it might have been, but it certainly wasn't joke bowling, which we do see from time to time in other forms of cricket. But to have that consistency and to know that every time he swung that he was on his game left players towards the end of the game, despite their reverence for the big man, they didn't want to bowl. Don't call me captain because I don't want to bowl the next over.
I've seen that in matches where there were bowlers who were not wanting to come on against a particular batsman. One that I remember very clearly was actually back when Wasim Akram discovered that he could bat. He'd always been a bowler, and then suddenly when he discovered he could bat, he was swatting sixes. And I still remember a game against India in ODI back in 1987, spin bowler Gopal Sharma, and I remember he didn't want to bowl, and he's shaking his head, and the captain gives him the ball, gets the ball, bowls to Wasim Akram, bang, six. So that does happen in games sometimes. But, you know, the thing is, and you made a good point, Nigel, about how everyone was applauding him, that, you know, even the bowlers that just been massacred. Part of that is cricket. In cricket, you know, the sportsmanship is paramount. People appreciate, a good innings. They applaud opponents off the field. They congratulate them when they get hundreds. And this was obviously something special, you know, and not to rain on the parade, because I think it is an exceptional innings and it likely will remain, the highest T20 score. But this isn't T20 international cricket. This is, you know, an IPL game. It's not international cricket. I can think back to, and I don't have stats in front of me, I'm just talking off the top of my head, but I remember late 80s, early 90s, Ali Brown in a 50-over county game, between two county sides, had scored a double 100, you know, at a time when it was very difficult to score 100 in a 50-over game. He scored a double 100. And it got some, you know, some coverage in the English press, and it stopped there. And so Chris Gayle's 175 is kind of the equivalent of that if you go back, you know, 20 years where somebody scored a double 100 in a 50-over game.
Well, the record, just to bring it close to home, is there is a guy who plays in our league, Danuka Paterano, who plays for Centurions, overseas player for them, but now he kind of resides here. But he has 277 in English league cricket, which is a 20-over game. So if you imagine 177 compared to 175 compared to 277, that's...
When we stop to analyze that, we're always going to look at opposition, the ground, and all of those things, I think, are also factors in Chris Gayle's innings.
Well, I mean, you always look for comparisons, don't you? And then if you don't find them, then you just start running out of superlatives to describe what he managed to do. I wonder, A, whether he surprised himself by what he managed to do, and B, whether he thinks he actually could beat that, because I can't see that stack of records being bettered any time in the near future.
If he did this next week, I wouldn't be overly surprised. I'd just be in awe again, you know, and be like, okay, that's just the way Chris Gayle does stuff.
Yeah.
What he's probably done lately is size up bowling really quickly and know, I can take 30 off this guy. And he can turn it on and turn it off.
Yeah, none of these IPL attacks are particularly, you know, strong from, you know, from bowler. Yeah, from top to bottom. There are weak links in every bowling attack. And certainly, you know, a player like Chris Gayle, who, you know, is going to have his targets. And but having said that, I mean, he can hit anybody, right? I mean, he's so powerful that if he gets it in the slot, bang, it's gone.
Extraordinary achievement, the like of which we may not see again in many a moon. A couple of other points before we leave off this week. We suggested this on our last show that IPL was thinking of shifting the playoff venues for the first couple of games because of the political tension in Chennai and Tamil Nadu state. Well, they weren't going to be hurried into a decision. Turns out they have made a quick decision, and they've moved those first two playoff games to Delhi. So, you know, you could look at this in one of two ways, I suppose. One of which would be it's the sensible decision. Players and spectators' safety has to be paramount. But I suppose the protesters in Chennai will also be claiming victory, won't they?
Yeah, and it must be fairly serious enough to move. You know, it's sad to see because, you know, obviously Chennai wants their team to be there and, you know, that they deserve to be there and their fans deserve it, but it's something that has to be taken care of.
Any reason why Delhi? Is there a venue that could have been just as suitable closer to Chennai? I mean, is there any rationale behind why Delhi is taken over?
I'm sure there are some considerations that go into it, but I guess probably looking for a bigger market, that likely could be it, but I can't really say. But, you know, I think really that this was the sensible decision to make. There had been, actually, I think my understanding is that there was actually directive from the Tamil Nadu government, and that's kind of what forced their hand. But in the end, in the interest of cricket, I think it was good that you need to have, you know, each team needs to be able to field its best 11, and that wasn't going to happen in Chennai. So if for no other reason, it's good that, you know, the matches were shifted out of there.
Well, certainly from a purely cricketing perspective, there's no question that this is the right decision.
Yeah, for the safety of the players and probably the spectators more than anything. And you're going to get a good turnout in Delhi. You'll get it to get a turnout in anywhere. So it's, you know, in the end, it's just a bit unfortunate, but it has to happen.
And while we're talking about venues, I see Raipur is a new venue for IPL. And Delhi has actually made the move to play a couple of home games there. Is this a trend that you see continuing, necessarily taking the games away from the huge centres of population and putting them in smaller areas? I mean, the stadium looked lovely.
Yeah, you know, good venue, good following, good pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it needs to, you know, you need to give the crowds in smaller venues the opportunity to see, you know, a cricket of this quality. So I absolutely, I think it's a very, very good step and I hope it continues.
So there we are. The playoff venues moved. Raipur is new on the IPL map, so to speak. Before we go, I just want 30 seconds from you both on the spiralling trend of IPL captains who are A, not contributing, and also not really playing. Sangakkara, Gilchrist, Ponting, big names in cricket, perhaps past their best. It's extraordinary that this season has seen this trend to captains of teams with bags of experience and bags of runs under their belts over many, many years, and suddenly they're dropping like flies. What is going on?
Yeah, you left out one bag, bags of money, Nigel. this is actually very amusing to me. I'm quite enjoying it, actually, watching these, you know, big name captains sit out. What are they there for? You know, they have to be inspiring their teams. They have to be scoring. You know, they're all getting, you know, fat paychecks and, you know, would they do this in international cricket? I mean, it's a huge story in international cricket if the captain, you know, decides to, you know, step down for a game. So, you know, are these captains going to be back? Do they deserve to be back after the fact that they haven't performed and they're drawing the paychecks and have the captain's armband and yet can't play the game? So it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I just think it's a harsh reality of 20-over cricket or IPL, which is a condensed league format. You're playing every 3-4 days, basically. You know, there's no room for out-of-form guys, you know, especially when you're paying a guy like Maxwell. Tough, but, you know, that just kind of has to happen. I think Gilchrist, obviously, he's struggling a little bit, whether it's age or whatever, just passion. And the other two guys are also, you know, it's funny that it's three guys, you know, it's coming at the same time, and they're all captains, and they're all getting dropped, but it's another drama story in the IPL, but yeah.
Never any shortage of drama or stories in the Indian Premier League. Of that you can be sure. I want to say thanks to Zubin Zakarian for our Sawat for joining me on this week's edition of Cricket Central. Watch the IPL live and in stunning high definition, exclusively on Sportsnet and Sportsnet World Online, presented by CIBC. Cricket Central is a Titan GSG production. Executive producer Rathan Morthy. Editor Jeff Eden. Until next time, thanks for listening.